Today is Friday, March 31st, the year 2000. We're in East Lansing, Michigan. I'm Jeff Charnley, interviewing Dr. Blanche Martin for the MSU Oral History Project for the sesquicentennial of the institution to be commemorated in the year 2005. As you can see, we're tape recording this interview today, Dr. Martin. Do you give us permission to tape?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I'd like to start with a little bit about your personal background, and then we'll get into educational background. Where were you born? Where did you grow up?
I was born in a little town called Mill Haven, Georgia, which is not far from Augusta, Georgia. And I grew up in River Rouge, Michigan, which is in the suburbs of downriver from Detroit. We had a family of five and was raised by my grandmother and grandfather, although my mother and my stepfather lived in the area. So I grew up in River Rouge.
How old were you when you came from Georgia?
About five.
5 years old. Mm-hmm. And you graduated from River Rouge High School?
River Rouge High School, yeah.
How did you first come to Michigan State as a student?
Well, I got an interest in Michigan State when I came up here in high school with our basketball team. We were in the state finals in 1951, and I came up on a bus and fell in love with the campus. So then I was recruited for football, basketball after my senior year, and I was delighted to end up at Michigan State University.
So the first impression of the campus was a good one?
Oh, yes, very good.
Where did they have the state? Was it, you were in the state finals?
Yeah, my team was.
Was that in Jenison?
In Jenison, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you win?
No, we lost that year, but in my time in school, we won, my junior year, we won Class B state championship, and then we won again in my senior year. So I played on the first two state championship teams we had.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Just a side note, I graduated from a little town in north of Grand Rapids, and we played River Rouge in 1964 in the finals, and we lost. Yeah, there was Class C then. I must have dipped down just one.
Yeah.
So who recruited you specifically?
Forty Anderson and Duffy Doherty.
Mm-hmm. Both of them.
Yeah. Okay. Matter of fact, one of my claims to fame is what Forty told me. Wilt Chamberlain graduated the same year I did. So Forty told me that if he could get me to come here and he had a good chance of getting Wilt, that he would have the nucleus of a good basketball team.
I would
guess so. Can you imagine being named, mentioned in the same voice as a 7-foot center?
World-class player.
Yeah.
Which did you prefer, basketball or football?
I preferred basketball, but I was too short. I wasn't a very good ball handler. I was a good jumper, a good shooter, but I couldn't bounce the ball more than twice without losing it. But I did make All-State.
Oh, wow. Any highlights on your basketball career that you want to talk about?
Except for winning the high school state championships 2 years in a row. And in high school, I did play as a freshman at Michigan State. Matter of fact, I was partially responsible for Johnny Green's success because he started on me. I was one quarter ahead of Johnny, and on the freshman team, and when he came up to the gym, and he's kind of tall, lanky guy, and at the time I was probably the roughest thing on the freshman team. And so when I saw him, I said, boy, that guy looks tall. So I'll probably end up check guarding him, but that's okay. I had tall ones before. But Johnny jumped right out of the gym.
Were you amazed at his jumping
ability? I couldn't believe it. Yeah. Still don't believe it. He was awesome.
Yeah. What did you continue on with your basketball career?
No, I didn't. I played as a freshman, and then I concentrated on football.
Okay. What would you like to talk about your football?
Football. I had a great time. We had some success. We didn't play as freshmen in those days. So my first year was Duffy's second year. So I came in 55 and he started coaching in 54. And so in 56 we had a very good team. We lost a couple key players. Matter of fact, at the time we lost a couple key players, we were number one in the nation. we lost Clarence Peaks and somebody else, I forget who it was. So we finished about 7-2 that year, and the following year we finished 8-1 and we were ranked second in the nation. And then I missed my, what would have been my junior year with a bum knee. And I stayed around and played in 59, and we, I think we were about 6-3, but we came within one game of going to the Rose Bowl that year.
And you went to the Rose Bowl any years?
I was a freshman when they went in 56, which was the 55 team. So I didn't go. Exciting game, though.
How did you, how'd you hurt your knee?
In spring, we had a, at that time we had old-timers, spring football games, and I was on the varsity at the time, and it was late in the game, and I shouldn't have been in there, but I shot back in the game, and somebody ran into the side of it, and I was done for a year.
Oh, no.
And those days, it was quite a surgery, but nowadays, they probably would have had me back the next week.
It is amazing what yeah. progress they've made.
Oh, man.
What was it like to play football for Duffy Doherty?
Oh yeah, it was really fun. We had a great group of people and great group of coaches. Some of them are still around here. And Duffy was a great guy. He and I got to be very good friends over the years. But we had a just had a good time. You know, it was coming to Michigan State from a small downriver area was quite unique. You got to meet a wide variety of people and make new friends, and it was really a ball for me. I had a great time.
The balance in academics and athletics seems to be pretty tough. How did you handle that push and pull between the two?
I did okay because I was a pretty good student. Matter of fact, I had some scholarship offers, academic scholarship offers. My scholarship I had here was a combined academic athletic scholarship. I forget the name of them. They only gave two of those out a year, and I got one. But I seem to do a little better during football season because I was too tired to go out and waste time.
So the time you had to study, you were focused.
Absolutely, yeah.
Interesting concept. What did you end up majoring in while you were?
I was in math and physical science.
Okay.
That's what my degree was in. I was in pre-med for a while. I thought I'd want to be a physician, but at the last hour I decided to go into dentistry.
I see.
Mainly because I didn't want to ever have to tell anybody they were going to die.
Interesting. The any professors that you had as an undergraduate that you want to mention bad or indifferent?
Yeah, there was. The fellow Lawrence Quill, who was head of the chemistry department, was one of my mentors, and he thought I was a good student, and he kind of encouraged me to pursue postgraduate education.
Did you have him early in? Was it later as a junior or senior?
Well, he took a lot of chemistry courses, and he was head of the chemistry department, so I got to know him. Boy, there's probably a number of professors I had.
That was just one. I wanted to talk to the people that we've been talking with as students who are here, not just administrators, to talk about some of the faculty because they're an important part of it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Did you live on campus?
I got married in my freshman year, I lived in the dorm for 1 year. Then I brought my family up the next year, and we lived in the old Quonset huts in Spartan Village.
Okay.
They were really neat because they had what they called no-bedroom apartments, which just had a big living room, and you had a bed in there. They were $29 a month, and I moved up to a one-bedroom apartment, which was $34.50, and then finally we ended up in a two-bedroom apartment, $39 a month, and no... utilities.
No utilities. That's pretty good. So you graduated in 59? 59. Yeah. Okay.
And I stayed around in graduate school for a couple of years. 4 years.
Here. Okay. All right.
I was in zoology for 2 years. Okay. And then I switched over to biochemistry. I was thinking about pursuing a PhD. Uh-huh. And I spent 2 years in graduate school in biochemistry. And then I decided to go to dental school.
Okay.
And I spent 4 years.
So that was what, 63?
That was 63. When
63, okay.
From 59 to 63. Mm-hmm.
Where did you end up going to dental school?
University of Detroit.
Okay.
It's U of D Mercer now. They merged with Mercer College, which is down in the Detroit area.
Okay. And how long did those the postgraduate study take?
4 years.
4 years.
4 years.
Okay. So 67.
Yeah.
And then, so if you were studying in Detroit, had you maintained any contact with the university?
I would come up quite often, mostly the athletic events, football, mm-hmm. basketball. But I was kept in contact with Duffy. Mm-hmm.
Did he encourage you to come back to the community, or was it?
Yes, he did. Yeah, Duffy and Jim Furyk, who was the team physician at the time, he was a very good friend. Mm-hmm. Biggie Munn, because Biggie was still alive. Trying to think who else.
And he was athletic director
was
when
athletic
you
director
first came,
when I
so
first,
you
yeah,
you
yeah.
knew him well. And,
yeah,
you know.
Right, yeah, yeah. He was a great guy.
Did why did you pick East Lansing to set up your
practice? Well, I came up here in 55 as a student, and I had a great, loved it, and had a great time, and then I stayed around for another 4 years in school, and had a part-time job as a janitor for the state while I was in graduate school. Plus, I had a graduate assistantship, so I was just fell in love with the area.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as I got out of dental school, right back.
Mm-hmm. Those were interesting times in the 1960s, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
And you kept up with Spartan football.
Yeah.
Well, one might say the glory years, or some of the glory years.
Yeah, it was at that famous 10-10 tie in Notre Dame.
You were there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably wish you might have gone right down on the
right.
field.
Right. His legs were pretty good then.
Well, how was it that you came to have a position on the Board of Trustees?
Well, I started to practice my practice here in 67. And let's see, I ran in 60. About a year later, Don Stevens, who was on the board at the time, came by to ask me if I would be interested in running for the board. So I had heard of the board, but I didn't know anything at all about it. I said, well, Don, you know, I'm just trying to get my practice started here. I don't know whether I'd have time. He said, well, it doesn't take much time. He says, we only meet once a month. and they were kind of looking for candidates. And so I said, well, all right. So we gave it a shot and went down to the convention, and lo and behold, got nominated.
Oh, really?
And as you know, if you can get nominated, and whatever the ticket does, that's what you do. You go up and down with the ticket.
And that's so which party was this?
Democrat.
The Democrat. Yeah,
yeah, right.
Don Stevenson was represent that.
I was on the ticket when I guess Hubert Humphrey was running against Richard Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
Humphrey lost, but we won in Michigan.
Okay. You took office in January
69.
January
right.
69. Yeah. All right. So John Hanna was still
John
president?
John was still president, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything about that first board meeting? I know it's a long time ago, but...
No, I don't remember much about the first board meeting, but I remember what was kind of the climate was at the time on the board.
Mm-hmm.
There were 5 Democrats, 3 Republicans. I do remember going to my first board meeting before I took office. Usually when you elect it, your term doesn't start, but they have you come to a board meeting or two to kind of see what's going on, I guess. And at the time, there was kind of I guess it wasn't a controversy, but C. Allen Harlan, Warren Huff, and Claire White, who were 3 Democrats on the board, they were giving Dr. Hanna's some flack about something. I can't remember what it was, but he was not happy about it.
So the meeting was tense for
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Did you wonder what you're getting into?
Yeah. I remember the Dr. Hammond when he heard that I was running, because I got to know him very well, because he used to travel with the team when I was playing football. We spent a lot of time talking. He's a very interesting guy. But when he found out I was running for the board, he called me and told me he thought that was great and wished me all the luck in the world. And then when I was elected, he was the first person to call me to congratulate me.
Is that right?
And then later on, he had me and my wife over for dinner, gave us a basket of apples. I mean, how could you go against a guy like that? No, he was all right. I really liked Johnny.
Some of those early years, now he resigned, of course, during
shortly after I got on the board. He resigned, I think, in 69. So I had about two or three board meetings.
At the time that he did.
Right.
You remember, did he present that letter at the board itself, or was it a case where he's just submitted in writing? You remember that? Or any circumstances or issue about it?
I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Walter Adams obviously took over. Were
you
involved in any
in
asking him or selecting him? Or?
Yeah, in those days we could meet in private. And I remember the five Democrats. I said that would have been Don Stevens, Claire White, Warren Huff, and... I can't remember his name right now.
I can look it up.
Yeah. Well, we got together and we decided that we would ask Dr. Adams if he would serve as an interim president while we doing the process of selecting a new president. Mm-hmm. And if you had five votes, that's the way it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did the Republican members,
they matter of fact, they were pleased that we were going to select Walter as the interim president.
So it came
ultimately a
bipartisan
decision. Yeah, he was a popular guy.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any other contact with him personally, or just through your board members?
Just as board members, but I got to know Walter very well. He and I got to be good friends after that, but I think that was the first. Well, I had met him before, but not to talk to him. But after that, we got to be lifelong friends.
Mm-hmm. And I know in the sciences, you might not. He was in the economics.
Yeah,
run into him.
Yeah.
Decision. Do you remember the talk at the time when he decided not to continue? Do you remember your reaction or the board's reaction at that time?
My memory serves me correctly. We had considered offering Walter the job. We had the votes. Mm-hmm. But I don't know whether we were unanimous in that. But at any rate, then he was adamant about the fact that he did not want to be considered. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of folks said, well, I bet if he knew he had the votes, he'd consider it, but I don't think so. He said he wasn't interested.
Mm-hmm. Were you the first African-American on the board of trustees here at Michigan State?
I wasn't the first one nominated, but I was the first one elected.
First one elected.
Yeah, there was a fellow, Nathan Conyers, I think. He was nominated either 2 or 4 years before I was.
I see.
Nominated, but the Democrats lost that year. Mm-hmm. But I was the first one elected.
Yeah. Okay. So were you involved in then the decision for Dr. Horton?
Yes, we were. We interviewed, well, we had a search committee, and Dr. Horton and I think either 4 or 5 other candidates were presented to us, and so we were to choose from one of those 4 or 5, and I remember we went to New York to interview Dr. Horton, and another fella from Sunny. From Sunny. Was, well, I think Dr. Warden was with, he was with some kind of world. He wasn't, I don't think he was in the...
Wasn't in academia.
Academia at the time. But, so we interviewed, I think we interviewed three guys there. Mm-hmm. And I forget. One of them was from Sunny, and one was from another New York school. And Dr. Wharton. And I think we interviewed maybe one or two others later, but then we decided to offer Dr. Wharton the position, which was on a 5-3 vote.
Okay. So politics continued in the, yeah, into the decision.
Yeah, there was a lot of pressures, I would say, to name G. Menon Williams, who was, I think he may have been, I don't think he was on the Supreme Court at the time, but he wasn't governor at the time either.
He was available.
Yeah, he was available, and a lot of the Democrats, and somebody was, would have been a good president, I thought. But, well, we had agreed, at least some of us felt that since we had agreed that we wouldn't consider anybody who didn't come through the selection process, that we would not consider anyone. But there were some pressures to forget that and name Soapy president. Mm-hmm. But
he had a lot of political clout within the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
At that time.
So Don Steves and I, we stood firm on what we had said. We were the only two Democrats that did. But
was he the chair at that time? Or was he was just
he
one
was
of the...
chair. I think Don was chair at that time.
Yeah. Do you remember the first time, this interview, was that the first time you met Dr. Horton?
That was the first time, right.
Okay. Yeah. What do you remember about that first meeting?
He was an attractive candidate. He was well-spoken, well-educated. He knew quite a bit about academic and running an academic institution. I think he had some experiences somewhere along the line. Somehow, but he was the most impressive candidate we talked to. Mm-hmm.
You knew the university well from your many years. Mm-hmm. Gave you an advantage even probably over some of the other board members who might not have even been alum.
Yeah, I thought so.
Well, I think that's important in terms of understanding board members' decision if you come from that background, at least as a student, graduate student, all levels. Mm-hmm. Did you think that Dr. Horton would be a good fit for the university?
Oh, yes. That would be an excellent fit. Mm-hmm. He brought what we were looking for, you know. He had academics, he had connections, he brought a lot of things to him. He did a lot for us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When he came to campus in the late 60s, early 70s, in your experience, what would your the things that were going on campus? People have talked about as being tough times. And what were some of the incidents that you remember that were difficult to deal with as a board, or the hot issues at that time? Obviously, choosing a president was one of them.
Yeah, that's always a biggie for us. It was
main responsibility.
Yep. That was during Walter's time, the Wilson Hall incident. Mm-hmm. I think it was the tent city thing was a kind of a biggie because I think that went on for maybe a week or so, or maybe longer than that. But anyway, there was what to do about that, and I guess ultimately we had to move the tents out of there.
Was the tent city related to the war or
The war?
War protests.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Was the board divided on that issue, or
no,
were they pretty unified?
Pretty unified on that. Yeah, I can't remember any divisive issues we had other than that. It probably was a ton of them. Some I don't want to remember.
Well, it's only natural to think about that. But in terms of the other social issues that were going on at the time, or the war, student riot—not more than student riots. I mean, or there were. I mean,
yeah, there was about 71 or something.
In 71,
Pretty. It was I think they brought in a National Guard or something, but you know, that was handled fairly well. No one got hurt.
So Dr. Horton was able to
right.
to solve some of those. What we talk about? Did you have any personal relationship with Dr. Horton as a board member, or how would you characterize his leadership style once he got here?
He was fairly low key. Decisive, and he was, he didn't back down too often. You know, a lot of folks, because he was such, seemed to be such an easygoing guy, they mistook kindness for weakness, but that was not the case. He was a strong guy. He, if he believed in something, he'd go down, he'd fight.
In his decision,
he was a quiet warrior.
Oh, really?
Yes, he was.
Did he? How did he come to a decision? Did he study the problem, or did he get opinion, or did he make a personal decision like Hannah might have, or did he take a different approach?
I think he took a little different approach than Hannah did. Hannah, I think, in his day, he had boards that were a little different than, and they weren't as. I don't think they were, from what I heard, they weren't quite as political. Mm-hmm. And even his board meetings never lasted very long. But the climate kind of changed, and people's politics started to take a bigger role, I think. And you had to, you know, not only had to answer to the public, you had to answer to the party, and especially if you were interested in running again.
Very true.
I found that out.
When were you re-elected the first time?
I was re-elected in 76.
Okay.
70, yeah, I guess I was re-elected in 75, and I took office again in 76. Okay. 76 to 84. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Did you have to campaign at all? Or was
You
had to be nominated again.
Yeah, you had to be nominated. But your campaigning was a little different than most and regular campaigns, because what you do is they send you around different places to push the ticket. Mm-hmm. But every now and then you'd have, like Tim Skubik, I think, had us board candidates on his show, and one or two other things where the board candidates actually got together and kind of debated, more or less.
Or discussed the issues.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did the board change at all in the makeup after that election?
Back and forth from like 5-3, 4-4 for a while. Every 2 years we would get some new people, and sometimes it would shift a little bit. But I think most of the time we had more Democrats than Republicans during my time. But I think there was a while when it was like 4-4.
Dr. Horton had to deal with some of the NCAA investigation. How did you first hear about that, or were you involved as a board member at all in any of those?
No, I wasn't. They had a committee, and I was not on that committee. John Bruff was on the committee, and they would report to us periodically. That was kind of a hot issue there for a while. Mm-hmm. I remember one Friday or something, they called it. we fired Denny Stoltz and Gus Kanakis and somebody else, some of the assistant coaches, because of some of the things that were going on. But I don't know why we fired Gus, because I don't think he was involved.
<I don't know. laughs> So it was almost a clean sweep. Let's see, who was the athletic director then?
Bert Smith. Because I think we fired Bert. Did something to him. Bert was a great guy. I was saddened by what happened to him, because I don't know what happened, but I knew Bert. He was a great guy. He wouldn't have knowingly let anything go awry.
In terms of the teams at all, were you at all, when you were on the board member, because of your experience as a letter runner here, did people look to you as
they'd look to me
for a first statement or anything like that?
Right. I know when we hired Bert, I really pushed hard, because I knew he had the administrative abilities, and he was a coach, you know, one of my coaches. When we, a lot of the building programs and all that, Duffy Doherty Building, Mon Arena, and stuff like that. They would ask for my opinions because I was had been closely associated with athletics. So, yeah, I like to think that I was at least helpful in getting some of those things done. Breslin Center.
What was your opinion on the Jennison and the Breslin?
We were pushing for that for quite a while.
The board was looking for a replacement.
Yeah, right. Because there was a time we had plans for another arena before we did Breslin, and we were close to getting it. It would have been over there where the football practice field is now, not over there. The site we had picked was over by that way, and everything was almost all set to go. But then we had a student committee, and some students were upset because they thought we should have concentrated our efforts in other areas before we did that. So that kind of fell through, which cost us a bunch of money.